This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Dr. Mashilo, good evening and welcome to Power Perspective.
Good evening, Lukona, and good evening to the listeners.
I mean, can you just give us your broad sentiments and reaction to the budget speech tabled by Minister Mboweni today?
The starting point is that if you were to draw a graph of consolidated state spending and representing one trend, and then the second one represented by the gross domestic product growth rate.
Mm.
Both those two trends are heading southwards in the medium-term expenditure framework, meaning 2021-2022
yeah.
and 2022-2023 and 2023-2024.
Mm.
That is, there is a reduction in state spending, and there is a down south a trend in gross domestic product.
Yeah.
What does that mean? That means we are going to be far from reducing unemployment, because in order to create employment, if the theories promoted by the National Treasury are accepted as correct,
yes,
we need a high growth rate, because it is, and I'm speaking from the position of the National Treasury, because they always say employment comes from growth.
Yes.
So because your growth rate is going down south, that means that your graph representing employment growth is going to or unemployment is going to go up north.
Yes.
So that is a serious problem, because it means that poverty will also remain entrenched. And as you have seen from the budget, the rich must be happy, because especially the rich who will benefit from a reduction in corporate tax, because at least they will have 1% of their tax filing right in the pocket. That is done also from the politics of the political economy promoted by the National Treasury. What is that? The belief from a neoliberal perspective is that if you reduce corporate tax, you are attracting investment. Mm-hmm. However, there is a contradiction in the budget, in the sense that gross fixed capital formation or investment is not impressive. Actually, yeah, it is going down. So all in all, without really bringing politics in this thing,
yeah,
we are going to continue with the scenario of high unemployment and entrenched poverty for a foreseeable future.
Now, Dr. Mashilo, of course, without bringing politics in this, but I'm sure you have a view, the minister there saying this is not an austerity budget. I mean, do you agree with that statement?
What does austerity do? If this is not an austerity budget, it is a budget based on a fiscal framework of cuts in social in government spending. Where you see a positive adjustment, that adjustment is funded by a negative adjustment in another line item.
Mm.
Secondly, the budget does not include budgeting for public sector wage bill, in the sense that there is no provision for that. So the assumption is that in the next 3 years or so, or at least this year and next year, building on what happened last year, public sector workers will not receive their wage increases. This in the context where the National Treasury said that the rate of inflation will be around 4%. So every year, medical aid schemes will adjust the employer-employee contributions. and other deductions will also increase, but the wages will remain the same. So there will be an erosion in the labor's share of income from the perspective of those workers who are employed in the public sector. That is a serious problem. We just hope that the current dispute on the public service wage bill will be resolved.
Mm.
But there is no provision to resolve it in the budget.
So it's one thing to say it, but another to do. But of course, Dr. Mashilo, another thing that I thought might interest you as the South African Communist Party, we see a bit of a reduction in company income tax. How did you receive those news?
There is a bit of, it is a 1% reduction in corporate tax from 28%
to 27%.
If I was a capitalist, I would be happy about that.
Yeah.
Because that would mean that I will have more money.
Mm.
But you should know that a reduction in tax because that is a reduction in a source code.
Yes.
If we were to talk about source code, it is a reduction in a contribution from corporate tax as a source code.
Mm.
So, but that is done from the assumption that the savings to be generated by the capitalists will result in increased investment. In other words, they will direct the 1% benefit and reinvest it in the economy. But the rate of investment in the economy has not been impressive.
Mm.
All right? So it's quite difficult. And to also not bring politics in this thing, the reality that progressives like you and I should be concerned about is that internationally governments are competing to capture capital.
Yes.
And by that I mean to attract investment by capital. And one of the instruments that they do is a reduction in corporate tax. So if your corporate tax is high, capital says, you know what, we are not coming there because we are going to lose part of our profit.
Mm.
So the cost of doing business in your territory is high. We are going to this other country where the cost is low, plus we have the benefit. So the progressive must engage on that question because capital has gained massive mobility. We should not be shy from that. But at the same time, we should appreciate that this means an increase in inequality because the rich will have something additional in their pocket. Those who are 6,000 to 7,000 per annum falling below the tax bracket will have something.
Yes.
But I have bad news for you, my friend, in the studio there. If you are in upper income categories, you are going to pay.
Yeah.
You see, those are the realities. You see, we are dealing with the budget from the perspective of the figures that are in the budget.
Yeah. I mean...
Yeah, so, yeah, I'm not sure where we are going to get growth to create employment.
And I mean, just talking about that, not sure where we are going to get growth. And, you know, I was thinking this year being a local government election year and some people really raising concerns at how poorly budgeted for local municipalities are, and I know that at least if not ideologically, from another perspective, you know, progressives might say local government closest to people, it is a sphere that needs to be looked after, it is a sphere that needs to be budgeted for. But if you look at the division of revenue, you continue to see a local government that is probably receiving a share of about less than 10% of the entire budget. I mean, does this concern you? Because we end up with municipalities with very small budgets, but you find that residents in those municipalities are over-expectant on some of those municipalities.
Local government in the budget, from the perspective of the three spheres of the government, right?
Yes.
And the government departments at the national level is the only sphere where there is a positive adjustment.
Mm.
However, that positive adjustment is 0 point something in the next 3 years. Okay, so it is unlikely to make a big impact. But also, we should appreciate something else. Of course, local government, we say, all of us, myself included, it is the sphere of government that is closer to the people.
Yeah.
But the reality is that there are services that are not in the hands of the local government.
Yes.
Like, for example, provincial hospitals, if we are to build more, that is not in the sphere of local government. When you look at the budgets for national government departments, all those are going down as a consolidated one, as a consolidated expenditure.
Mm.
So it could be that some departments will benefit, but others experience a cut. But the totality of the revenue given to national government department is going to be going down, right?
Yes.
There are other services that we rely on which are not delivered by local government. If we were to say industrialization as a service or as a key economic instrument, the minister said there is provision for the industrial master plans, but we will hear when the Minister of Trade and Industry presents the budget. And it is too early, because to analyze that budget, one has to go through all the figures that are in the papers that the National Treasury did not read out loudly in Parliament.
Yes.
Yeah, because if you read the budget speech, I will give you an example of a statistical difficulty.
Yes.
When we say this and this has increased to, without saying from where and by how much,
and the funny thing with that, Dr. Mashilo, is that the how much was actually in the speech, but it seemed as if it was inconvenient to read the how much for the minister, wasn't it?
It was. If I am to mark your paper as a student, and you tell me no, this year this particular variable increased to, let's say, 10 rand.
And you say it's significant.
And you say it is significant. I will tell you, it increased to 10 rand from how many rands?
Yeah.
By how many rands and what percentage point? Because you are giving me incomplete information.
Yes.
So you have to dig in the other papers, you see, to check the last budget and say, okay, during the last budget, this was here. And the increase is by so much. In percentage terms, it is this much. So we are left with quite a lot of work to perform ourselves as the listener.
In fact, it almost seems as if you are suggesting, and I did pick this up, and it's quite frustrating because it almost seems as if there is a growing sense of missing transparency in how this information is being communicated. But Dr. Mashilo, I also want to ask you, as the SACP, where do you stand on the discussion around the basic income grant? Because when I look at the budget review document, it seems as if, social development is going to experience in the medium term a budget cut of -7.7%. Where do you stand as the SAPC on the basic income grant, and do you feel that there is space for it in South Africa in the medium term?
Please allow me to address the question you raised about transparency.
Okay, okay, okay.
to be frank, they are transparent.
Yeah.
They give you, let's say, 200 pages of information.
Yes.
And the speech, take the speech as an executive summary. That doesn't cover the rest of the details.
Yes.
So their transparency is in the sense that if you go to the National Treasury's website and download all the documents, you begin to analyze. But from an academic point of view, I will recommend in future that when you stand there and tell people this has increased to this value, please tell them from which value.
Yeah.
And tell them by how much did it increase in monetary terms as well as in percentage terms.
Mm.
Because that thing is quite a lot of work for us to do. The National Treasury has got all the instruments and the model to give us that information without really doing what some of the presenters. I know the difficulty they are in.
Yes.
The difficulty the National Treasury is in is that we are in an economic crisis.
Yes.
So it's a crisis they are also faced with. And some of the roots of the crisis are not properly explained, but the reality is that we are in a crisis. Now, let's deal with the basic income.
Yes.
Remember that we were among the active forces calling for the extension of the 350 rand. So once it was introduced, we made noise about it. We built pressure for it to be extended. So every time the president spoke,
yeah,
and the national treasury spoke, it was extended up until the next speech.
Yes.
All right? So now it has been extended up until the end of April. So the likelihood is that that pressure will continue, but they can arrive to a point where they say, no, not anymore. So the question is, what will be the social and political consequences of that not anymore?
Mm.
Yes.
And of course, in the foreseeable future, are you going to still be pressing for this to come to the table? I mean, it seems as if Treasury is suggesting to us, asina mali.
I was listening to your news bulletin during the day.
Yeah.
They say there is officially about 7 million people who are unemployed. Hey, hang on. We have over 11 million unemployed people in total.
Mm.
So that includes the people who are actively looking for work.
Yes.
And those who have given up.
And the discouraged ones.
And
yes,
in fact, you're not discouraged. Let's be frank, because at least I have the benefit of having looked for employment, doing door to door, firm by firm, asking for work myself.
Mm.
To do that, you need money. You need to stand up. So you need like a taxi fare, a bus fare. In today's days, you need money for data so that you can go onto the internet.
Mm.
So if you didn't have money for you to travel, to look for work, if you didn't have money to go onto the internet, you count as somebody who never looked for a job.
Mm.
Because to look for a job is money, if truth be told.
No, absolutely. And it's quite costly. I mean, people travel from certain villages to the nearest town just to photocopy, which they are still going to pay for. But just the travel can be 50 rands to town and 50 rands back home.
Can be a lot of money. You know, in just after we voted, just after 1994, I looked for work myself doing door to door. And I find some to delivering tires, carrying them on my shoulders. Yeah.
Mm.
So I was paid like 20 rand, you know. You see, so I know the difficulties. And in our towns, I'm sure you will see, there are many people at street corners, at least hoping for somebody driving a van or a buggy to stop. Those poor people don't even wait to hear, where are they going to work? What are they going to do? How much are they going to be paid? They just come in. So that's the difficulty. So that's the difficulty. So the emphasis in the budget is placed on reducing the budget deficit and reducing the debt, isn't it?
Mm.
I so wish that one day we will have a budget that is anchored around reducing unemployment, reducing poverty, and reducing inequality as three key economic and social development goals.
Mm.
Because so far, when the budget is presented, the crisis most profoundly recognized is that of the deficit and debt.
Mm.
And in order to resolve that crisis, the truth is you need to invest in the economy, because money comes from investment in the production of goods and services. Money comes from value creation. So if you decide to abstain from value creation, you will be left with no other instruments but the taxes to raise revenue. And the people who pay taxes are going to fight. I know from my experience of you, my friend.
Yeah.
You are not ready to pay more.
Dr. Mashilo, diabulela kakhulu for making time for us here on Power Perspective.
Enkosi.
Thank you. That's Dr. Alex. That's Dr. Alex Mashilo, the national spokesperson of the South African Communist Party. It's just 20 minutes to 11 on this midweek edition of Power Perspective.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.